Don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course.
But,
that's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We've got that mob of optimism, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the game. And you know, we talk about the latest stories, more so than any other, and our mountain wealth matters. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you rant about the podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy and he loves the laughter and kiss the grin, the friction. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Ashton, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to the podcast too. And you love the podcast too.
That is right. Of course, we'll come back and be a minute or two late for when we start, but we're back after a month layoff. Jeremy here, Chris over there in Las Vegas. Long time,
yeah,
no show, right?
Holy. And you know what I'm realizing from recording that podcast?
What is
from
that?
From recording that theme song? Fresno's really not that far away from... Did I say Fresno to Esty, or did I say Fresno to Boise?
I don't know. We'll have to listen again. But for those who have never heard us before, thank you for listening. MWCConnection.com. Yeah, welcome to the show. It's been 6 weeks since we've done the show. We've had a lot of things going on, but like I said, MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection, Greek Padre over there on Twitter. He'll be witty and funny at times. No pressure, but you can be.
God damn it. Thanks for it.
Just saying, you can be. But hey, welcome to the show. This is kind of a welcome back show, I guess, to say, since we're going to be going now until the end of the football season. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, because, you know, then after football season, we go back into basketball season, and it's just kind of like an endless cycle. It's really weird that we've had 6 weeks off.
Yeah, we've had stuff going on. We attempted to talk NCAA tournament, but we had a few things go down. It's more fun to do two persons than one person show, because talking to yourself in your own room when you know maybe a couple hundred listening, not as fun, but we can go back and forth. It's amazing. It's great.
Well, you know, that's how most lecture classes work.
One-way conversation?
Exactly.
Hey, at least there's people you can look at.
Yep.
Well, maybe that's not always a good thing, because you can see them sleeping, right?
No, absolutely.
All right, so what we're doing today, we are going, like I said, if you notice the title, Spring Football Wrap-Up, everybody but Hawaii is wrapped up spring football. It's weird. You would think Hawaii would have maybe switched to the Air Force, because Air Force had their spring football in February. Hawaii's mid-April.
Yeah, but, like, Hawaii is spring, like, all year round. So they could have spring football, essentially whenever. And you'd think that with the way they play during the regular season that they're having spring football during that point of year anyway.
Oh! Zing! Big zing there for Norm Chow. So since we're in Hawaii, let's just start with Hawaii. What we've missed so far, here's the news on Hawaii. They need a quarterback. That's safe to say. Am I correct on that?
Yes. They're planning on having one quarterback.
Because we penned the quadrant formula, and that's us, completely us. And they might be getting. Here's the funny thing about Hawaii: the Max Whittick. If nobody knows about this, they should. Max Whittick, former USC quarterback, soon to be once he graduates this semester, has been looking at Hawaii, looking at Louisville, looking at Texas. It seems to be between Texas and Hawaii. He's taken three trips to Texas, saw their spring game last weekend, We know David Ash broke his ankle in Texas, so he's out for a little while. Do you think he could come to Hawaii today if he chooses to and be the starting quarterback day one?
You know, I've seen Max Wittig play live last year when I went to Utah State USC game. And he's a decent quarterback. And decent by USC standards is star quarterback in Hawaii standards. So, yes.
Yeah, we saw Taylor Graham, four-star from Ohio State, with a year of transfer regulations because he had to actually sit out Wittig could play right away. We saw Taylor Graham, but he had some shoulder issues, not spring now with the shoulder surgery. But why would a guy who's also a four-star, he'll step in right away and do what? Do you think, okay, not step in right away because that's an easy answer. Will he step in right away and do well for Hawaii? Because Graham stepped in right away and was not doing well.
I think there were a lot of things behind that, but I think that Wittig does have a chance to do well.
Okay. But they also see that they're looking at, there's, I believe, I think four guys from Hawaii trying to couple walk-ons. They're still, or not four, excuse me, Stephen Tsai, I believe it's pronounced from the Honolulu Advisor, says there's at least four other quarterbacks looking to walk on or transfer from FBS schools. Is it just because you're in Hawaii? You know, let's just go to Hawaii and hang out?
I think there's that. I think there's also the illusion that Hawaii traditionally has had good quarterbacks play for them.
Yeah, Timmy Chang
being the first, Tommy Chang, others.
Well, Cole Brennan made the transfer from Colorado to Hawaii to Sugar Bowl laughingstock with good numbers.
Well, okay. Let's take away from, you know, the let's take away the Sugar Bowl massacre.
Okay. He did well.
The rest of Colt Brennan's career was pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah, he lived up. Yeah, we know the schedule's weak, but he put up big-time numbers, and they were rewarded for it. Is they trying to be Colt Brennan? Because here's the thing. He goes to USC. They have quarterbacks there, like, I can never say his first name. Was it Isaac Woosley, that guy? He's actually performing the best. Is it Isaiah Woosley? Is that correct, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say his name to save my life. Isaac Woolley. He's actually leading the front runner right now to be their starting quarterback. However, Norm Chow's not going to name a starting quarterback.
Yeah, that's if you believe the starting advisor.
Do you believe Norm Chow?
I don't believe Norm Chow.
You don't believe he'll wait?
Bye.
You believe that part? I don't know. I know we're starting talking off Hawaii football, which is the least desirable team in the league right now, essentially. But if you look at, we're not going to spend too much time. We're going to cover most of the teams here as kind of a whatever show. But have you read Bill Connolly's Hawaii preview already this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is
that a yet? He's more optimistic than they were.
Connolly has hit every single preview nail on the head. I'm sorry if I don't sound enthused. I'm just really tired right now, but. Connolly has seen every single preview that I've read of Connolly's, and it's just like last year. He seems that, you know, obviously we know that he knows his stuff, but every single year he seems that he gets on better predicting the teams year after year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I buy into what Connolly says on a regular basis.
Well, we said it, too, a little bit last year, that Hawaii was multiple one-possession games. Fresno State being a big example in the second half comeback in that game. The Wyoming game in that shootout, they had quite a few games where I think we put them at 5 or 6 wins if they were to get a play here or there. It's just their defense was terrible. But just with the Hawaii situation, we're going to wrap this up here about the Warriors, but it's really the quarterback. If they can find a quarterback – they'll be fine because the running back, Jeremy Safa, finally came in halfway through the year, or not even halfway through the year, was it game 9 through 12, and played extremely well. He's going to be back running the ball. If they can find any symbol of a quarterback, defense can't be worse than last year. They have to have a couple more wins on the schedule. And so I'm just nothing to note on them unless they get Max Wittig, and then until the fall. Because if they get Wittig, it's another wrench in the quarterback situation, and then we're still waiting 3 months away to know what they're doing. So their spring is almost worthless. If Wittig doesn't come. But if he does come, it's just, you know what I mean? It's just a big mess again. Can they find a guy in 2 weeks? If it's Taylor Graham, Max Wittig, or Ahsoka, it's like, who's it going to be? But
I have another theory as well.
What is that?
I have another theory. And obviously, Connolly, if you read the article, Connolly's adjusted record from last season was 4-8 as opposed to 1-11. And Hawaii really did play much better the latter half of the season instead of the first half of the season. But I really think if the coaching situation was better at Hawaii, and I'm not talking about Chow, I'm talking about the other coaches as well. And you could throw Chow in there as well.
Well, they got rid of Aaron Price right before training camp last year.
Yeah. If the coaching situation was better, I really think that Hawaii could have won 4 or 5 games.
Plus second season, it was joyous off of, had 600 yards and only in a few games. They got Billy Ray Stokes went back halfway part worse of the year, and he's their best receiver. But there's a couple of major injuries, but yeah, if they didn't get rid, I don't know. We still don't know why they got rid of Aaron Price first week of training camp, but they could be better, but it just depends on the quarterback, and we'll see from there. But
anyway,
it's still a jumble mess. Next, let's move on to what you pick a team, and we'll go from there. Who do you want to talk about?
Who do I want to? I want to talk about San Jose State.
Ah, replacing David Fells. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Because we did one of our last shows was speaking to Jimmy Durkin of the San Jose Mercury News about spring football. Who's it going to be? Their depth chart came out, and they still don't have a quarterback.
No, but they've narrowed it down really to two options now.
Yeah, Joe Gray or Blake Jurich.
Yes.
But even more than that,
I've also noticed the other thing, the running back depth chart. They have 5 running backs who are in the first, second, and third team.
Yeah, they got 5 guys.
They got Thomas Tucker or Jared Lawson, which I would think that Lawson would be the starting setup. But then you have Brandon Monroe, freshman, Osiris Burke, and then Alvin Jones. I mean, you've got 5 running backs. We know that San Jose State is not a rushing team. So
yeah, last year that was an understatement. We joked they should hike the ball to 25-yard line so they don't have to get in the red zone.
So what's the deal here? I want to say that's even more confusing than the quarterback situation.
Well, they do need a running back because replacing David Fells will be a mid-round pick in the draft. That's obviously a big deal. They lose Chandler Jones in their couple wide receivers. They lose, I'm trying to think the other guy they lost. That's their tight end. They're basically their top 3 receivers. 2 of the best all time ever. And so I don't care if Joe Gray or Blake Jurich do great, it's still going to be an issue. And I thought it would have been great because they had a great spring game or a scrimmage. You just lit it up. But based off of last year, their running game has to get better because Jared Lawson, he did good for a couple games starting as a freshman, but he pretty much, the running game just disappeared. And it's not just that, but it's the red zone. So what are they going to do? They do need to run the ball more clearly because the red zone issues that we joked earlier. But they also need to find those intermediate passes. And I remember what Jimmy Durkin said, that they're going to actually run. They wanted to run a different offense than they did with David Fells. They played to his strengths. So by changing up the scheme, if I recall, they wanted to go under center more. If you're not under center, it's hard to run the ball unless you run like the pistol, like Nevada does, BYU does, Georgia Tech the triple option. Those type of offenses, or Texas trying to do the pistol. You can run out of the pistol, but when they're in shotgun, you're not going to run the ball well. So if they're going to go under center, and I believe they want to do a more West Coast style, they're going to do a short pass, and that's going to, any quarterback should be able to make those passes, and that's going to help your running game if you have a going under center, not having to start in shotgun next to your quarterback. Because it takes away a lot of options you can do.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, my other question is, and, you know, we missed out on the talk with Jimmy Durkin last week, or I missed out on the talk, rather. What about Ian Beaver? 3-star freshman. He's the quarterback. He doesn't seem to be anywhere in the mix out of this post-spring depth chart. Does that mean they're going to redshirt him?
Right now, it seems like if he's number 4, even though he came in spring, I'm assuming that's the case. He got 3 upperclassmen. And those two guys have been in with Ron Carragher for, this is what, year two now? Second spring. I'm assuming he'll redshirt. And if he's good enough to go, not a problem if he starts as a redshirt senior or even a redshirt sophomore, give him a couple years. But, yeah, I don't know why he's not listed as a, maybe they don't want to go four deep. I don't think they're changing positions with him, but I'll go with redshirt. That makes the most sense.
The other concern for Sam is his shape.
It's actually right here. Sorry, if I read the comments, Jimmy Durkin chimed in. I'm looking at his depth chart I sent you. He actually put him there. He's almost guaranteed the redshirt. So, yeah, I was right on that and without reading. But, yes, looks like he'll redshirt. So, there you go.
Oh, okay. The other thing I was kind of curious about is just the offensive line. This is not going to be an experienced offensive line.
Yeah, they have a couple of seniors, but if that's the case, their running game is how they're going to be better if their line is worse than last year. That's that's not what you want to see from your running game there with a terrible rebuild offensive line or new offensive line, I should say.
Because I'll read you a quick statistic. Only two of those offensive linemen have starts under the belt. Wes Schweitzer, who's a left tackle junior, he has 13 career starts, and David Peterson, who's the center, he has 10 career starts. No other linemen listed have a single career start under them.
Good luck there, offensive team for San Jose State.
Yeah.
So can we have the quarterback count how many stars are in the sky? Is that a good plan for them?
Sure, that counts as recruiting stars, right?
Yeah, sure, if you can count that. That's an issue. Well, and they're both of those guys are just anybody else brought in. They have a couple 3-star guys who could be in the mix, like Fernando Villanueva. Yeah, geez, everybody else is like 2-star below. But that's going to be tough. I don't know. That's a wait and see approach. Should we talk about your Boise State Broncos riding on a Calvary to take over Idaho? Are they trying to join Canada, or what are they doing with that?
No. They're wanting to ride all of Idaho because they're going to visit all 130 players who are looking to kind of recruit there in the future. So they want to visit all of them. So, but apparently they're all going to visit them on horseback.
So they're not going to use a James Franklin or Kevin Sumlin. Let's go in a helicopter right on the backyard of a football field.
No. This is Idaho.
That's more impressive. Helicopter. That seems more impressive.
I don't know. I mean, you don't think it's impressive to have a whole coaching staff riding on horseback like it's Unforgiven or something like that?
Here's how it'd be impressive. I want them to actually ride it to every school, not take them in a truck, hop off, and ride them for 20 yards. I think ride them the whole way. Come on, show me something. You're into it. Commit to it.
I guess.
So, okay, let's get real with Boise State. I've looked around. With the new head coach for a reasonably large program, there's been very little about them this spring that's been surprising or been talked about. Am I correct on that, or am I just not reading the right stuff?
No, I think you're correct.
Because they returned, they have the quarterback, Grant Hendricks, going to be there. He started half the year. Jay Ajayi, running back. They lose to Marcus Lawrence, Charles Leno Jr., a couple other key players. Is Matt Miller still back, correct? One more year?
Yeah, Matt Miller's back for another year. Shane Williams Rhodes will be even more of a threat this year than he was last year.
Why has there been not much talking about them? Because I, for my very early preview, I'm doing some stuff with CFB Matrix. I even joked around Twitter, got a huge conversation with people. Looking at their schedule is very favorable. And reading through spring stuff, you got to work on the defense. They're putting in some new wrinkles on offense. But it's not out of the question for them to be very, very good this year.
Can I go ahead and say something?
Go ahead.
Two things. One, I think now it's Boise State. Oh, they're always going to be good. Been there, done that type thing. So I think it's just not as exciting to talk about them. But two, I think everybody's afraid to have big expectations for Harsin filling in for Peterson. So everybody's kind of afraid to talk that, both on the Bronco bandwagon and also on the opponent. Because the opponents could say, oh, Peterson's not as good, you know, the elite team is over and there's not going to be a good Boise State team, and that's going to be it. But at the same time, there's that huge fear that Harsin's just going to, you know, completely do the same thing as Boise State's always done.
Well, two things on that. One thing, Kellen Moore, he's a once-in-a-generation quarterback for any school in the country. So I could see why that would be reason to choose that or not, to say how good they're going to be. But then also, Harsin was there during the, not resurgence, but the surge of getting to the Sugar Bowl or Fiesta Bowl, playing Louisville undefeated in the Liberty Bowl, all those great Broncos teams. So there should be a reason to, there should be a minimum, a cautious optimism.
Yeah, and I think that's what it really is. I think Connolly puts it, once again, I keep referring to Connolly's articles because he's
always
spot on.
Do it.
Huh?
Do it. That's what he's there for. We're hopefully
where
give him on a week or two.
Where he says, you know, it's still Boise State, but it's no longer Boise State.
Which makes sense, meaning they're probably not the undefeated team every year, but they're going to be a threat to win 10 games pretty much fairly easily or close to that.
Yeah.
Because if you look at their schedule, if you look at their plan, they got Ole Miss and Georgia Dome. Ole Miss could be better, but then they, those two twin brothers are out. What's their name? I can't say them. There's defense. You know, talking about number one defensive recruit. They're suspended for that first game.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I'm trying to think. It's Robert Nadine. I can't say his name, but people at home are probably yelling. It's Nagvinchum or something. I can never spell it or say it, but it's interesting. It has like eight consonants and two vowels.
Ole Miss defensive?
Yeah. I just can't say their names. I know what they are, but I just can't say them. No, Nagvinchum. I don't know. Whatever. They have a couple of guys suspended. I need to look up a pronunciation guide once the season begins to know how to say their name. As you all know, I'm great with those types of names. But seriously, that's Ole Miss. That's, at worst, a toss-up game in Atlanta. They host Colorado State. He doesn't have Caffrey bib. At UConn, it's nothing special. They host Louisiana, who could be pretty good in the Sun Belt. Air Force is awful. Nevada's still trying to get better. They get Fresno at home. The toughest game is probably BYU at home and San Diego State at home. And Utah State at home. Their toughest games are at home. So I don't think I'm out of line saying there's a realistic chance they can go 12-0. I don't want to say it, but looking who they have, that doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility.
But I feel like we can easily say that every single year about Boise State.
But this schedule plays up so nicely, right?
Yeah.
Are you afraid of going to Mexico? No. At Wyoming? Probably not. Not this year, at least. At Nevada is probably their toughest road game. And Nevada hasn't proven their back what they're doing with Brian Polian there. Yeah, Cody Fajardo is a senior, but they don't have a running game at the moment. A reliable running back. Fresno State doesn't know who the quarterback is. They're replaced with Derek Carr. BYU is probably their toughest game on the schedule. And even with them, they're going to be a good team, but it's at Boise State. And it's going to be, that's probably their toughest game, and I don't see why that could be a toss-up game either. They're not going to go 12-0, but knowing from spring, it's been a pretty pedestrian spring, and if Brian Harsin can do what he did last time at Boise State, not even just being that good, but with his offense and what he does, he's been to Texas, been to Arkansas State. I don't see why he can't just kind of continue what he's doing, being creative with offense and not being hand-strung like he was at Texas.
I guess.
You guess? What do you really like right now? What do you think their record will be?
In my opinion?
Yeah, right now.
I really want to say 12-0.
It's hard. Me too. I struggled last time. I'm like, give me something. I'm right there with you, man. It's tough to say. Why not? They return enough on offense. defense will always be good, and their tough games are at home, and they're very good at home. That's why I don't – it's tough not to say it.
Except for the Ole Miss game.
Are they really scare you that much, Ole Miss?
It's SEC.
You're scared of the SEC?
Oh, no, not really, but still, I mean, I think
no, I know what you mean.
I think Ole Miss had a good rebound year last year, and they could be very good this year.
Oh, here's some breaking news. Apparently, I just found out they're losing a former, well, excuse me, like four-star, five-star offensive lineman left the team.
No, that changes my whole opinion.
Yeah, Austin Goldman leaving depth on the O-line, which already was an issue, even more critical.
I guess.
So they have no starting right tackle at the moment. Okay, he hasn't.
We're talking about Boise State here or Ole Miss?
No, Ole Miss. They're offensive linemen. They like he's leaving the school possibly. Like that's
Ooh.
As of today. And right now they have no starting right tackle. So I'm just saying.
Okay, fine. They don't scare me as much.
See, plus they're usually the bottom of the SEC, aren't they? They don't have your favorite coach there anymore.
I guess.
Just say it. Okay, let's move on to the next team. What team do you want to do next? Your turn to pick again.
It's my turn to pick again? Am I going to pick, like, the whole...
I picked Boise State. I moved in over to the Headless Horseman talk. The Four Horsemen. Ichabod Crane.
How many teams are we going to go through tonight?
Not all of them, just a couple.
A couple?
A few more.
All right, I'm going to, let's see.
Your hometown team at the moment?
No, because I'm not sure. You know what I really want to talk about? I really want to talk about Wyoming.
Excellent choice. We were going to discuss it regardless. But yeah, so what's your first thought for Wyoming and Craig Bull, who last week got his championship ring from North Dakota State?
I'm going to go ahead and say bowl game this year.
Wow, bowl because Craig Bull? I know you've been overusing that all year.
Funny. No, because actually their schedule sets up for it.
Okay, tell me this. Who's their starting quarterback going to be?
Right now?
Yeah. And how many career starts do they have?
Oh. You know what? I'll go ahead and say Colby Kirkgaard.
Okay.
He's a senior.
Junior college transfer, yeah.
Junior college transfer.
For those who don't know, the reason we're joking that you should know Brett Smith is off the NFL. Jason Thompson followed Dave Christensen to Utah for some reason, even though he'd have walked into the starting job this year. So the quarterback is a bit issued, but here's the thing. If you read Bill C's preview, they have a Sam Wicket running back who's perfectly fine. They'll have some decent wide receivers a little bit, even though they lost Robert Heron. But... yeah, Sean Wick will be fine. Even sophomore Oscar Neverman is pretty good running the ball in the spring game. What's your confidence of why do you think with the new quarterback, new head coach, losing their best wide receiver, that they're going to go to a bowl game? Last year they did not.
Okay, so first of all, they have to go, 7-6 this year?
Let me see how many games they play.
I think they play 13. They have to go 7-6.
No, they play at Hawaii, but they're still doing 12 games.
Okay, so they have to get 6-6.
Correct.
Okay. Montana is not the Montana of old. They play Air Force at home. They're going to lose to Oregon badly. They play Florida Atlantic, who's, you know, not good. Michigan State,
no.
They're really good, but they play a defensive game.
And I think that's where
Hawaii.
I think they could beat Hawaii. Oh, they should. Last year's game would be interesting. But defense, that makes me think in really quick. Defense is what Craig Bull is going to lead this team on because they are so good at defensively when he was at North Dakota State, all the stops he's made, even in the Big Ten, he made good, played, had a very good defense.
Okay. He should be able to beat New Mexico, and he should be able to beat Colorado State.
So how many is that?
That's six. And then if he's throwing San Jose State at home, that's 7-6.
Really? So you got Montana, Air Force, Florida Atlantic 3, Hawaii 4. Who's your 5? Colorado State? Or New Mexico would be 5.
Yep, Colorado State.
And or Hawaii.
And or Hawaii, and then throw in San Jose State, because they get San Jose State at home.
I don't know if Craig Bull can turn it around that quickly. Maybe. But without a quarterback who's taken a couple snaps in FBS level.
Excuse me, he's taken 26 snaps.
Oh, 26. I apologize. That's almost one game worth.
That's more than Kellen Moore had snaps when he started at quarterback.
Oh, so he's Kellen Moore now.
Now, you want to know, if you really had a quote-unquote Kellen Moore type player, or, you know, compare, I don't know, maybe Tommy.
He wouldn't be in Wyoming, that's what I'll tell you.
maybe Tommy Thornton, 6'1", 205, or that's what he's listed.
He's a serious possibility. They haven't named their starting quarterback yet. He's in the clear. He is in the discussion. So it's not just going to be the JUCO transfer. You're a 23 pass man. It's going to be starting right away. But I'm excited for Wyoming because Craig Bull, everywhere he's been a winner. He moved North Dakota State from Division II. Outside of one poor year, he took him to the playoffs. I think in year two to the quarterfinals. He's won 3 straight FCS national titles. He knows what he's talking about. So I would – it's too early to back your bowl game because wasn't Wyoming your crazy good team 2 years ago?
Yeah.
And last year was my crazy dark horse team to win the conference until they decided to choke the last half of the season.
See? Exactly.
I'm intrigued if their defense can step up and do well. And they have a good – like I said, have a good running game with Sean Wick. They'll have a decent receiving game. So, we'll see. All right, let's wrap this up. So we got a little bit of time here. Let's go. I do want to go to UNLV here. Because, do you feel sad for UNLV that they have an APR and got them kicked out of postseason play?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, there's a couple things about that. For those who don't know, in 2011... they had the worst. They basically had to have a perfect APR, the academic progress rate, for I think it's a rolling 4-year period. In 2011, they were so low, despite smashing the minimum, well above the minimum past 3 years, they still fell 5 points below. So they don't go to a bowl game next year. I don't know if they would anyway, but I read somewhere, I don't know if the guy was joking. I think this is Las Vegas Sun. No, not Sun. The Review Journal. The one you feel that's better, right? You prefer the Review Journal, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, I was reading there. They have the library there because part of this thing is that we already know UNLV is losing money for football, or maybe breaking even if they're lucky. Part of their plan is $250,000 toward a new athletic facility, more computer monitors in their training room, whatever they're going to build nearby the football facilities. Did you know, you might know this, you know the actual library is like blocks from... not even 2 blocks from the football practice field?
Actually, I did know that, going to the UNLV campus multiple times.
It's right there. And the guy, I don't know if the guy was joking or not, because I couldn't tell if it's sarcasm, but you know, what's the point of building a $250,000 upgrade when you have this library that's right there?
And it's a very attractive library as well.
Yeah. From what he said, it sounded nice, sounded great. But also, on the flip side, it's hard to punish a team, assuming Bobby Houck and their AD is telling the truth that 96% of the people who had the issue are not there anymore. Like, it was a 4% issue of that year.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
No, exactly.
A shame because
you're basically punishing... But this comes back to the corruption of the NCAA and their inability to do things right on task. They're punishing a team.
Imperfect.
They're punishing a team for setting below standards that were basically really set below, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah, 2011, 2012, academic year.
It's just ridiculous.
And also what's ridiculous, I think it's Florida Atlantic as well as part of this. Same, I think it's some school over that area, maybe Florida International. Part of it is if you appeal and you present a good plan, you should be able to. I don't know why they're denied the appeal, because they go through their plan with the, you have to do extra hours for studying, you have to give up for practice time, you can only do stuff 5 days a week. They put in all these things in place of here's how we're going to get better. You would think a school for the past 3 years, if we're to believe the school on this, they easily surpassed that 930 APR mark. Easily. So I don't know how they'd get denied the appeal if they have a plan in place and they've had 3 straight years of good academic success.
Yeah, exactly.
If they say if you appeal and have a plan, you're good to go, but then you make a plan, and it's not like they've been poor every year, just barely sneaking by that mark, and they're within 5 points despite that horrendous year. And what's worst about it is that this team, who knows how much they'll try this year, because, heck, you can't go to the bowl game, and they got fairly embarrassed last year. They have a good offensive line. They probably, honestly, they could have, at minimum, you could say they're the most experienced offensive line in the Mountain West, and it could be the best offensive line in the Mountain West. They bring back 3 guys who have 29 or more starts, an all Mountain West player, and 2 other guys who started over double-digit games. They have well over, they probably have almost, quick math here, 150 starts almost. Well, not quite, 100 career starts, 100 starts between all 5 of them. No other offensive line has that in the Mountain West, not even close. And they have Shaquille Murray Lawrence, a running back. They bring back Devontae Davis, Marcus Sullivan's a return man. They are debating for quarterback. This offense could be pretty good, but are they really going to bring the effort because, oh, we're not going to a bowl game this year?
Maybe. Maybe they'll be going for surprise.
What's your expectation for the team that they know? They already know this far ahead they can't go to a bowl game, and their offense is fairly experienced, depending on what you're going to do between Nick Sherry, who started, his first 16 or so games, and he's in a battle with Blake Decker to be the starting quarterback.
Are you asking me how many games are they going to win or how the season's going to
play out? So, how do you think it'll play out? Their offense is set up perfectly except the quarterback's position.
I think Hauk is going to give Sherry one last chance. Because he performed most of his freshman year, and then last year he took just a huge step back. I think Hauk is going to really see, whether or not he's actually improved in the offseason.
Hope so.
And I think if Sherry has improved, or if the quarterback situation, does improve from Caleb Herring last year, who did an excellent job, I see another 5-game win season possibly.
Yeah, I just wonder how their motivation will be, but yeah, we'll go through schedules later on once we do each team. It's just it sucks for them for, like I said, something they did 4 years ago. It's like the NCAA punishment now. They crushed USC for something I think is way less than the Ohio State scandal with the tattoo, equipment, gold chains, all that stuff. They got hammered 5 years after the fact, what Reggie Bush did or didn't do, or what coaches did or didn't know. All right, let's do 2 more teams. Let me pull up our Mountain West guide here. Do we want to do Utah State or San Diego State? Actually, before we do that, I assume your favorite running back for New Mexico is Caruso Gongbe, correct?
Yes.
Did you hear the breaking news moments ago?
I did not. I've been on Twitter, though, so I'm sure I could probably.
It is, I'll just read what it is. It is obviously allegedly facing charges for, he has been suspended for the team because of, unfortunately, rape charges.
Kick him off.
Not good. Yeah, that's reading right here. KOB TV reports that Gong Bae and another man who is not a student faced two counts of second degree criminal sexual.
Kick him off.
And one count of kidnapping. This is not good.
Kick him off.
All right, I will. Yeah, we'll say goodbye to that running back and
kick him off. Bring in Jarrell Presley.
Bring in somebody else. So that's our New Mexico talk, our legal talk for the evening. We'll see how that plays out, but that's
whether it's alleged or whether he's guilty or innocent, you shouldn't find yourself in that position in the first place. Kick him off.
Yeah, that's pretty severe. All right, next team. Let's go to our favorite Mountain West quarterback, Chucky Keith. He's throwing the football. I have seen visual evidence of him throwing the football.
I like Bill C's headline for his preview. Chucky Keaton's back, smiley face.
Of course, why? Who wouldn't be excited for Chucky Keaton?
Any of Utah State's opponents this year?
Ah, there you go. Exactly. That's it. Everybody who plays Chucky Keaton. And if he comes back healthy, which all indications say yes, if Joe Hill, running back, comes back well, which all indications say yes, they could, their game 12 of 12 at Boise State will likely decide the Mountain West title. Mountain West, Mountain title, I should say.
Yeah, the Mountain title.
Mountain title.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
And my only disappointment is my place of business does not give Utah State much credit, and I try to force in Utah State talk whenever I can.
That's why you do it here.
That's what I'm trying to do, yes. Like, hey, let's discuss this Chucky Keaton guy more. But I'll tell you this. Do not ask Matt Wells about Chucky Keaton because he will want to punch you in the face. Being interviewed, listening to him being interviewed, he's like, we're only worried about the players we have here, but he's on the right path. That's all he says. Darryl Garrettson is a Mountain West caliber quarterback, which I think he'll be a fine replacement for Chucky Keaton in 2 years.
But he's not Chucky Keaton.
No, because Chucky Keaton, here's the thing. He's such a phenomenon. It's quite odd. Besides, who else has created such a stir for what would you call the program? Above average program at the moment?
They weren't even above average.
I'm saying, even going back to that year one versus Auburn, where as a true freshman going into SEC, nearly SEC country, losing in overtime. What type of player has done that ever? The closest guy, what, Jordan Lynch maybe in Northern Illinois, perhaps?
In today's? I mean, I could pull out the Kellen Moore card again.
No, but is he really revered as much as Chucky Keaton has been?
No, he has not been.
Well, I mean, nationally, not everybody knows what Kellen Moore is great. But like I said, our friend who will try to get on, Holly Anderson, is in love. Seems like she's in love with Chucky Keaton. So I'm wondering what her thoughts are when they play her team, Tennessee, week one.
She'll probably be rooting for Keaton.
I'm just saying, like, you'll see, like, Adam Kramer, he loves Tracy Keaton. Everybody loves Tracy Keaton. They have no affiliation with Utah State, this teeny tiny program. That's been the worst football program in the country outside the past 4 years forever. They're New Mexico State bad. New Mexico bad outside the past 4 years. The worst team in the country, and now everybody loves Tracy Keaton.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just
saying. And also, me and Chucky Keaton went to the same high school. Obviously not at the same time. Can I brag about that since it's last year for him playing?
Of course.
Of course. I'll take anything I can get. So, with Chucky Keaton, let's delve into Utah State really quick here. Assuming he's healthy, what would you expect for this team? Because we know their defense is great with Kyle Frackle, Nate Biggle back there. They do lose Nevin Lawson, Tyler Larson, offense and defensive line players, or DB and center.
Possibly an undefeated team.
Oh, you're going that far?
Yeah.
Should we go back?
I can easily see them beating Tennessee the first game of the season.
Oh, so do I. So is it Tennessee or Ole Miss? Who's the tougher team? Not that it matters that they're playing, but we discussed Boise State early about 20 minutes ago.
Ole Miss,
okay, because Tennessee's still rebuilding there. They get Wake Forest at home, fine. They get Arkansas State, which, on the road, it's fairly difficult. They won the They won the bowl game, not one to seven, but went to bowl game last year. Toughest game is what, at BYU and then Boise State at home? Or excuse me, at Boise State. Those are it. That.
Yeah.
They're good.
Once again, another season that sets up for them nicely.
It's not as nicely as Boise State's schedule, but it's still very nice.
Well, I think you have to refer to talent-wise. I still don't think, outside Chuck and Keaton, I don't think Utah State has the talent that Boise State has right now.
Sure. Utah State lost Travis Van Loo and a few other wide receivers. The running game was inconsistent. Lost the All-American Tyler Austin, who will be in NFL next year. Yeah, their offense lost a lot, but still, look what Chucky Keaton did his sophomore year with very minimal talent. They'll find
exactly.
A way. They've been bringing in new talent around the past year or two with him improving. So they've brought in more players. This isn't, like I said, the mid-90s Utah State that was playing at Florida State, at Texas, and at Alabama the preseason schedule, essentially, to make money to keep their program maybe break even. This is a team that they're getting Wake Forest at home. They've come such a long way since Gary Anderson took over just a couple years ago. And so they're just saying, think about it. Yeah, you can laugh at Wake Forest, but they've never had an AC. I don't believe an ACC team ever come to Logan, Utah.
I don't think ACC teams know what Utah is.
Let alone Logan, Utah, which is 90 minutes from the largest city in Utah.
Whereas the state of Alabama is very familiar with the state of Utah.
Heck yeah. Of course. Beat up on Nick Saban a couple years ago. Excellent. Excellent topic here. All right. Let's wrap it up. Do you have anything else you want to add? We got a few minutes left here.
Yes. Check your Gmail chat right now.
Oh, my chat. Thank you. Let's see here.
It's not Mountain West related, but it is some college football news of the day.
Oh, the new Arkansas logo?
The new Arkansas logo.
I will post this later. It's just a compare and contrast logo, sorts of. Is that the guy from Lion King at the bottom?
Of course.
For those
of you who have not seen the new Arkansas logo, it's apparently instead of, you know, the Razorback running sideways, they made basically him running towards you, and they took out his whole body except for his head, and he looks exactly like Pumbaa, a mean version of Pumbaa.
Yeah, a mean version with the tusks there. Not bad. Okay. Since you're going there, would you want to? Okay, here's what I was going to say. Since the NCAA is making some big changes this week, we may want to talk about this next show. Should this league be concerned about the possible group of five kind of doing what they want in college football, but still being a part of all 125 teams? Is that a real concern for you, that they'll be so far left behind they can't do anything to catch up?
No, because as far as I understand it, the big five will have autonomy, which means they'll decide how they rule their own teams. But guess what? I mean, even if they had that, hard work always pays off. And so whenever these teams play each other, you know, surprising things still can happen. I don't think the NCAA will let the big five, even though they'll have autonomy, I don't think they'll let them have their own national championship.
I get your point. Yeah, I don't think they're going to break away because it'd be a mess. Especially NCAA basketball tournament makes so much money, they're not going to want to do that because they're not going to have a football only. The NCAA is not going to be able to do that. I'm just concerned about, because it's going to be conference voting. So say we all know the stipend thing and all that stuff. If they get a couple grand a year, which is fine by me, do what you want. They deserve something. But it's not like a school thing. So say, for example, say Boise State makes money or Hawaii makes money, but Utah State doesn't, Wyoming doesn't. It can't go school by school. So say these certain schools want to do it, but they can't. Like Boise State, just for example, say Boise State, yeah, I want to pay my players a couple grand, just whatever, because they can. That's in the rule book now, but it's a conference-wide thing. And Utah State, Wyoming, UNLV say no, or schools in California with no money because the state's broke. how can that's, you know what I mean? That's also a disadvantage to a team that's good that wants to keep up at camp, but they're not able to. If they make these rules of their conference wide, you get outvoted just because you're good and can afford it.
Yeah.
So I don't think they'll break away, but we already know they have a big advantage anyway, so what's another big advantage, right? Is that what we're saying here?
Exactly.
All right,
yeah,
let's
think so.
Okay, we'll get once we know the voting thing, we'll talk maybe more about that fun stuff at Northwestern and interesting things, because that's a whole other show topic for probably another couple hours, as is the Bagman. I assume you read that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just making sure. Last question here. We're going to wrap up right now. We're going to go right under an hour. If we're going to pick right now, not the Mountain West champion, that's too easy. Is there going to be a team from the – who's going to be the team from the group of five that makes the big money bowl game?
Boise State or Utah State?
Nobody from the American Conference? No MAC team?
you're serious.
I'm just saying Brian may not be happy because he laughed at his MAC team. MAC teams.
No.
You think, okay, not even Dark Horse. Some people are saying the Raging Cajuns, perhaps, who Boise State plays this year. I think that's the team people are mentioning. One of the Louisiana teams. I'm not sure if it's Louisiana or if they have the Louisiana Monroe. One of those UL teams.
That's a good one.
And they're now called Louisiana, correct?
Yes, they are the University of Louisiana.
So that's the one that plays Boise State this year.
Yes.
So you think it's Boise State or Utah State?
Yeah, because look at the football schedule for just to give you an example, if you look at the football schedule for Louisiana Lafayette, they play Southern, which is FCS school, Louisiana Tech, Ole Miss, Boise, Georgia State, Texas State, Arkansas State, Southern Alabama, New Mexico State, ULM.
It's the Sun Belt. That's what it is.
Yeah, exactly. They play
also
Sunday.
New Appalachian State, new FBS team, Appalachian State.
Exactly. Who who also plays Michigan this year.
Yes. It could be the best team, but it's going by a vote, I guess, however that committee's choosing. Is that committee even choosing this game? Because aren't they also choosing the Access Bowl games as well, plus the playoff?
I think so, yeah.
I believe so. Someone has the criteria for that, but okay. I will go with Boise State because even if you look at the American Conference, Blake Bortles is no longer there. Well, I'll give two teams. Here's my two most likely teams. Boise State or University of Houston. The reason I say Houston really quick is they have John O'Korn back, who is a pretty nasty quarterback, and their schedule is probably on par with Boise State. Well, maybe not. Maybe I'll take that back. They play Texas Tech and Grambling. We'll see. I think those two teams are probably the most likely chances because somebody has to go and we'll decide there. But that's what we're doing tonight. Those are our super early, kind of a hodgepodge. Also, Fresno State, Zach Greenlee, Uber recruit, who we spoke with, Brandon Hoffman, has not been named starting quarterback at Fresno. Redshirt freshman, still working on that to maybe earn the job in the fall. So that's your Fresno State news. Former champs of the Mountain West from last year. So, any last tidbits you want to add right now? Are we good to just wrap this up and discuss what we're doing next time?
I think this is good for now.
That's good. Yes, we'll agree with everybody. This show was mediocre at best, we'll say. we did our 6 week laugh. We'll be back once a week. Is that fair to say? Once a week, maybe twice a week,
yeah,
if we're lucky. And
consider this the spring training of our podcast season. You know,
yeah,
it was a little sloppy. Questions had to be answered. Mistakes were made, and ultimately people learned things.
Yeah, and we didn't want to talk about every team. That's also spring training as well. So we'll see everybody next time. Again, check us out, Mountain West Connection. Search on Stitcher Radio, iTunes. We're on Blog Talk Radio. We're on SoundCloud, MWCConnection.com. Our likely schedule will be going probably Sunday and Wednesday throughout the off season, and we'll start previewing Air Force next week, I guess. Alphabetical order, is that good to go?
I think so.
Yeah, we'll do that. So I'd like to, hey, thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll check everybody out next time. And again, head over to mwcconnected.com for even more awesome stuff.